So we are going to continue our discussion on the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. We are discussing Sthayi Bhava for those who came in late. This section deals with this is the seventh section, and it deals with this chapter deals with Rati. We defined Rati several lectures ago as a combination of Labhini, that is the bliss potency of Krishna, and the Samvit, that is the perception of knowledge potency of Krishna. And that this combination of potencies descends from the spiritual world into the devotee's mind, at the stage of Bhava Bhakti. So when Sadhana Bhakti has been perfected and Krishna has bestowed his mercy on the devotee, then the Rati descends from the spiritual world. This Rati is the cause of identification of the self with a specific type of form in the spiritual world, and the identification of Krishna as the in a specific form in the spiritual world. In other words, the relationship between the devotee and Krishna becomes manifest at this stage of Bhava Bhakti. And that further matures into prema, and which is the next stage. So on this bhava and prema bhakti platform, the functions of the internal potency of Krishna called rati, they give rise to these various things. So rati directed towards Krishna is called the sthayi bhava. Sthayi means here to stay, fixed, established, permanent, all these words convey the meaning. That doesn't change, basically. Eternally, there is a permanent relationship between the devotee and Krishna. The sthayi bhava, this rati in combination with the knowledge of Krishna as in the specific form, we talked about this visha and ashraya concept, which is the subsection of vibhava. These are just different Sanskrit words to indicate that there is a relationship between these two, and that gives rise to different emotions, ecstasies really, when the body is not able to really take it, to take the bliss, handle the bliss, it's overwhelmed, and then there is interaction with we looked at the earth element and the different elements of the body, which give rise to different ecstatic emotions. And these are anubhavas, vichari bhavas, sattvika bhavas. We covered all of these over the last several lectures. And now Rupa Goswami has brought the reader to a point where he wants to discuss the different types of ratis. We talked about five ratis. Last time we discussed shanta rati. Actually, there are different types of ratis in the mode of neutrality. There is a hierarchy, if you remember, there is the Samanya Rati, then there is the Swachha Shuddha Rati, and then there is Shanti Rati, or Shanta Rati, that we are familiar with. It's a progressive stage of higher and higher realizations. Now, Shanta Rati is characterized by the fact that there is no specific taste of possessiveness for Krishna. No specific concept that Krishna is mine in this particular mode of relationship. It is more a realization of Paramatma in this case. And the devotee has this overwhelming sense of self. He's realized the self. He's like the Atmaramas who are interested and absorbed in the self and getting bliss from there. Ya antaha sukha antara aramas tatha antarjyotireva yaha sa yogi brahma nirvanam brahma bhuta adigacchati. But there is no personal conception, there is no desire to enter into a personal relationship with Krishna, there is no specific taste for it. Now we are going to look at the other types of ratis, and beginning with Dasya, or as Rupa Goswami calls it, Priti Rati, going to Sakya, Vatsala, and then finally Priyata or Madhura. So we look at these remaining four ratis. The idea here is Rupa Goswami has built the platform. This is just background so far what we've been doing. We've been just defining things. Now, once the background's built, he's going to talk about rasa, make a differentiation between bhakti rasa and rati. A relationship does not mean, is not equated to experience of emotions that the devotee has. The experience is the rasa. But the rati itself is referring to the relationship. Now, when this distinction is made, that's where I feel the rasa amrita starts. Although it is throughout rasa, but that's where once one has gone, taken the patience to go through the definitions, then things become really interesting. So let's look at today the definitions of these different types of ratis. When rati with deep possessiveness and friendship is found in three types of devotees, the three types are recipients of mercy, friends and elders, then it becomes respectively Priti Rati, that means Priti Rati is recipients of mercy, Sakhya Rati in friends, and Vatsala Rati in elders. So the next slide shows, let me get this to work. In these types of ratis, there is opening of the eyes, stretching the limbs, and unsteadiness. This is just referring to the sattvika bhavas and the anubhavas that can happen. These three types, so these three ratis have two varieties, kevala and sankuba. Okay, let's look at those, what that those mean. Kevala rati means this, when the rati has no trace of other types of rati, it is pure rati. That means in Vraja, in Krishna's friends, servants like Rasala, Rupa Goswami is saying, or in friends such as Shridam, or in elders such as Nanda, there is no mixing of ratis. Okay? It's pure. So then it is called Kevala Rati. Sankula, on the other hand, refers to the situation where two or three of the three types of Rati are found together in one person. Then it's called Sankula. Sankula means mixed Rati. And Rupa Goswami gives the example of Uddhav, Bhima and Mukhara. Uddhav, as we know, is considered in the mood of Dasya, servitorship. But at the same time, he's also Krishna's friend. So there's a mixture of ratis. But there is a predominant rati of Dasya in Uddhav. Bhima is elder to Krishna. His rati is defined by that relationship. Similarly with Yudhishthira Maharaj, they are elders, but there is some tinge of knowledge of Krishna's greatness. So they are not as familiar with Krishna as, say, Sudama is. And then Mukhara, I don't really know much about, but we'll see Rupa Goswami define it further as we explain that. Or actually, Jiva Goswami explains it. Now, when there is a mixture of rati, the most predominant rati is what the person is identified with. So, Jiva Goswami writes, in these three types of rati, there is permanence of the various ratis. He's distinguishing it from the shanta. Whereas in swachha shuddha rati, the taste is not permanent. Even the various types of rati can manifest. Depending on the type of devotee this person associates with, he gets that rati, but it's temporary. Mukhara is an old woman who acted as a nurse for Yashoda. She's a friend of Krishna's grandmother. Because of treating the quality and the possessor of the quality as non-different, a devotee is designated by the particular rati which is most prominent. Thus, though Uddhava has Sakya Bhava, he is predominantly a servant. Thus, he is designated as his servant. Priti Rati is the rati of, so the word Priti generally means love, it can mean bliss, it can mean different things in different contexts, but Rupa Goswami uses it in the context of servitorship. So here Priti means Dasya, being the servant of Krishna. So he defines it here. What is Dasya Rati or Priti Rati? When persons identify themselves as inferior to the Lord, so then they are called the recipients of mercy. Their rati, in which Krishna is perceived as worthy of worship, is called Priti. It's called Priti Rati. This Priti Rati produces attachment for the object of worship and it destroys affection for other objects. Then Rupa Goswami gives examples. And he cites Mukundamala Stotra by King Kulashekhar. And the example is, O destroyer of the demon Naraka, wherever I live, according to your desire in heaven, on earth, or in hell, I will remember, even at the time of death, your 2 feet, whose beauty defeats the lotuses blooming in the autumn season. Jiva Goswami writes, this verse is an example of the statement made in the previous verse. Though I go anywhere, I will maintain my rati for you, my priti for you, and not for anyone else. In the other ratis, starting with Sakya, there are other distinctive attributes, however. That is the difference between priti and the superior ratis. So we look at that shortly. Sakya rati, Rupa Goswami defines it as, those who identify themselves as equal to Mukunda are called sakhas or friends. Their rati with familiarity arising from the sense of equality is called Sakya rati. In this rati, there is loud laughing, joking, and there is no sense of reserve. And Jiva Goswami says, Rupa Goswami uses the word tulya. Tulya means equal. So Jiva Goswami clarifies, this does not mean equal in all ways, but just having an identity of being an equal. So they have the sense that they are equal, but nobody can be equal to Krishna. So that rati which reveals familiarity or lack of restriction caused by the sense of equality with Krishna is called Sakshana. Then Rupa Goswami defines, gives examples. So this example is Krishna thinking, or maybe it is in different, there are different possibilities. So Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami says there are 2 different explanations for this verse. But the first, the example is, today when I went to see the flowering forests of Vrindavan, this is Krishna thinking, my friends were suffering by even a moment's separation from me. From far off they said, I will be touched by him first. I will be touched by him first. With hair standing on end, they played in this way. Jiva Goswami says, these are the thoughts of Krishna in lamentation when Brahma stole the cowherd boys. Or these are the words of Krishna to Uddhava in Mathura. All those who were sent by Krishna to gather the cows engaged in playing while saying, I will return and be touched by Krishna first. So this is an example of Sakya rati. Another example, Shridham said, Shridham is mocking Krishna in this example. Shridham said, your pride has become impoverished enough in being defeated by the strength of my arms. Having boasted, say goodbye to the queen called shame, and in parenthesis, and defeat me. So this is an example where Sudama is challenging Krishna to a fight. Vatsala rati. Those persons whose rati identifies them as superiors to the Lord are known as pujya, worthy of respect, or elders. Their rati, which gives mercy to Krishna, is called vatsalya or vatsala. In this rati, so this is important, their rati which gives mercy to Krishna is called vatsalya or vatsala. In this rati, there is protecting Krishna, blessing him, kissing him, and touching him. So this is quite mystifying for other religious traditions. You know, God's mercy is what the devotee wants. But here the devotee is giving God mercy, which is interesting. The word Guravaha indicates those who identify themselves as elders or parents of Krishna. It's interesting, this word Vatsala. So I thought I would put this up. Jiva Goswami is commenting. The word Vatsala means those who give lamti, their breasts to their children, Vatsam. Thus, Vatsala refers to children and parents, and Vatsalyam refers to their emotional state or bhava. And then he justifies the use of this, the meaning that he gave for Vatsala by relating the verse from the Bhagavatam in relation to Devahuti. This is 333.21. Devahuti's husband had already left home and accepted the renounced order of life, and then her only son Kapila left home. Although she knew all the truths of life and death, and although her heart was cleansed of all dirt, she was very aggrieved at the loss of her son, just as a cow is affected when her calf dies. This is Vatsa Gaura Eva Vatsala. This is where, how he justifies it. Another example is, the forest is filled with inimical Kamsa's servants who are more solid than mountains. In that dense forest, my tender boy goes constantly. Oh, what should I do? This is the Mother Yashoda thinking about Krishna. So she thinks that Krishna should be given protection. And she's worrying about how to protect him from all the enemies in the forest. Priyatarati is the madhura or conjugal love. That rati, so the definition here is, that rati found in the doe-eyed women. So the Sanskrit here is mrugakshyas, mrugakshyaha actually. So mruga is deer and aksha is eyes. So that rati found in the doe-eyed women, which is the root cause of 8 types of enjoyment between the women and Krishna, is called priyatarati. This is Madhura. Rupa Goswami says it is also called Madhura Rati. In this Rati, there are sidelong glances, moving the eyebrows, and affectionate words, and slight smiles, etc. And then he gives the example from Govinda Vilas. For a long time, Radha and Krishna have been longing to see each other. All glories to the new sprout of hope of being able to see each other. So now he concludes the discussion, and I'm on my last few slides, and then we'll go to the discussion. So these 5 types of rati, progressively from Shuddha to Priyata, become more blissful by increasing taste. In other words, in Shuddha rati, there's not as much bliss as there is in Dasya, but in Dasya, there's not as much bliss as there is in Satya, and in Satya, there's not as much bliss as there is in Vatsala. And then Vatsala also does not as much bliss as there is in Madhura. And that's because of the different increasing tastes in these different ratis. The particular taste, and this is something intriguing, I have never really understood this part in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, so I decided to put it up for discussion. Maybe somebody can explain. So the particular taste arises in a devotee according to his previous experiences. So this is the point I don't understand. And then both Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami will comment on this. So Jiva Goswami says, after that 5 types of rati have been described, a doubt arises. Should all these types be considered equal, or should they be considered successively superior? If they are equal, then all the ratis should have the same inclinations. If they are successively superior, what is the cause for differing inclinations in people for different ratis? This verse answers, increasing from first to last, from Shuddha to Priyata, they become progressively filled with taste or delight. Jiva Goswami continues to ask, but what determines who takes up which type of rati? Is it decided by having no impressions of a particular rati from previous lives? Or by having an impression of one type of rati from previous lives? Or by having impressions of many types of rati? In the first option, absence of impressions, rati cannot occur at all because no taste will arise. In the case of persons having impressions of many types of rati, a particular rati could not manifest prominently because conflicting tastes would result in rasabhas, improper manifestation of rasa. Therefore, impressions of only one type carried from previous lives produce the specific taste. Though not being in a position to perceive the depth of that rasa, one can confirm its identity by comparing scriptural descriptions of rasas with one's own inclinations, and by inference through seeing how rasas different from one's own rasa either nourish or fail to nourish the total ingredients. This is quite, as they say in the US, far out. So what why it is far out, my view is that the rati is inherited from previous impressions from previous lives, which is what is being suggested here. And one can see what rati one is in by, and Jiva Goswami is saying, confirming its identity by comparing scriptural descriptions of rasas with one's own inclinations, and by inference through seeing how rasas different from one's rasa either nourish or fail to nourish the total ingredients. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes, among the various tastes such as sweet, sour and bitter, a particular person has a particular liking because of previous impressions, because of impressions from past life of a particular rasa such as dasya. In this life also, the person has that taste alone and not others. by the mercy of a great devotee with a similar taste. So there's one more complication here. Yes. So the question is, can any of these be mixed? Like I said, in the Sankula Rati, you can mix Dasya with Sakya, but there is a predominant Rati. Well, the impressions from previous life of predominant Rati, that's the point. Predominant. It could have been mixed, but there is a predominant Rati. And that carries on in future lives. The question is, how can you go higher if you have one, just one? Well, every devotee has a specific relationship with Krishna. And so it's not a question of high and low. Although Jiva Goswami says there's more bliss in progressive relationships, but for Prahlad Maharaj, being the servant and a Singhadev is the epitome of bliss. And he doesn't want to be in any other rasa with Singhadev. So that is perfectly high. That becomes clear in the Brihad Bhagavatam. So, yeah. Alright, so because of impressions of previous past life of a particular rasa such as Dasya, in this life also the person has that taste alone and not others. But this taste, importantly, is because there is a great devotee who has a similar taste who gives mercy to that devotee. This is the case for the two types of Dasya and the other three higher rasas also. Now, here there is a transition. So this finishes the five primary raktis, and there is a transition into secondary rakti. And I have two slides and then I'll stop. So Gauna Rati, secondary rati, is when a different emotional state arises from the excellence of the Alamban. Alamban is the support, if you remember. Which part of Vibha. Vibha divides into Alamban and Uddipan. Uddipan is the stimulus for ecstasy. And Alamban is the support, that means the devotee and Krishna, the specific forms of the relationship. So when this manifests, while the primary rati subdues itself, it is called a secondary rati. So in other words, if Yashoda is, Krishna is playing in the backyard, and Yashoda sees him and she starts laughing and laughing and laughing, she's forgotten that she's the mother of Krishna and she's in that rati. So that motherhood becomes slightly suppressed. And this laughter becomes a primary mood. That laughter is really a secondary rati. It's a temporary thing. It's going to pass. Next day she might be angry. She remains the mother though. That foundation remains the same. So these are called secondary ratis, Gauna rati, and there are seven types. So what are the seven types? There is hasa, humor, vismaya, astonishment, utsaha, fortitude, shoka, lamentation, krodha, anger, bhaya, fear, and jugupsa, disgust or hatred. I think I'm going to stop here because I want to continue with these later. So that's the end of the slides for today. I'm going to turn it over to Pranavini Prabhu and if there's any discussion. Okay, so Pranagavan Prabhu wants me to go further, so I will continue. So these were the seven secondary emotions. Again, hasa, vismaya, utsaha, shoka, krodha, bhaya, jugupsa, humor, astonishment, fortitude, lamentation, anger, fear, and disgust or hatred. Rupa Goswami says, since these are under the control of the primary ratis, Krishna acts as the cause for the first six of these bhavas. But Krishna cannot be the cause of the seventh secondary rati, which is jugupsa or disgust. The cause of disgust is the material body or other objects. We see this frequently. If you look at Kunti's prayers, if you look at Bhishmadeva's prayers, I mean most of the prayers in the Bhagavatam, they always have this, or they tend to have this this concept that, oh, I'm this material body, I'm stuck and I'm fallen. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this in the Shikshashtakam. So that is a kind of disgust, but not at Krishna, that is a disgust at the material body. Even though the devotees in the spiritual world may not have material bodies, but apparently they seem to have expressed these things, these concepts. That's something also that I have not entirely understood. So again, the disgust is a secondary gati, but it's never directed towards Krishna. Otherwise this wouldn't be a loving relationship. Since they are under the control of the primary ratis, ratir vashat, Krishna is the cause, vidhavatvam, of the first six secondary ratis from hasa to bhaya. This is Jiva Goswami. They fall under the control of rati since they can suitably be expressed in relation to Krishna. The causes of the seven secondary rati, jugupsa or disgust, are the material body. Krishna is never a cause of disgust. The next verse says, though these seven bhavas are different from the primary ratis. If you remember, I introduced this notation, this concept of swartha rati and pararatha rati. So that is coming into play now. So the primary rati, or swa, is called swartha rati when it is in control. It is controlling all the other ratis, secondary ratis. But when these seven emotions, or one of them, or more than one of them, are conjoined with the primary rati, and then the primary rati takes a secondary role, and the secondary rati appears to become primary, then the primary rati is called pararatha. Hopefully everybody got that. When the primary rati becomes subdued, then it's called pararatha rati. So, and then the secondary emotions are called rati. They take the role of the rati. Laughter, bhaya, that becomes the predominant mood. And it can stay for some time. So, for example, in Damodar Leela, krodha becomes the rati of Yashoda in relation to Krishna. And it stays there for some time, because she binds him with rope, is a question.
What was the mood of Arasu of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jiva Goswami?
What was the rati of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we understand, comes in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Between whom? Oh, between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Jiva Goswami, servant and the Lord. Dasya. Servitorship. Yeah. Very much. Because, you know, that he is a sannyasi and they are his disciples, his followers, ready to carry out every order. That's the relationship. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a very, very amazing person to think of. He's got so many shades to his personality. You know, he's a sannyasi. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Mahaprabhu had two wives, right? Lakshmi Priya and Vishnu Priya, when he was not a sannyasi. So he had that relationship with his wives, conjugal. Then he was a son to Shachi Mata. He was a friend to his friends in Navadvipa as he was growing up. He became a sannyasi, and when he became a sannyasi, he was relating to elders as if he was their servant, like Advaita Acharya, or in relationship with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. You know, he would take the inferior position. But at the same time, they knew who he was and they wanted to be his servant. And so they were resentful in a transcendental way of, you know, why is he touching my feet? And so there is a whole pastime between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Advaita Acharya. And Advaita Acharya compels him to beat him up because he starts to preach Mayavad at one point. To force Mahaprabhu to, you know, not treat him as an elder. It's very interesting that there's so many different shades of it. And then Mahaprabhu is a sannyasi. This is the microphone. Anyway, we have an expert, the expert on these topics. So should
I'm trying
him.
To remember, was he the one that lost his son?
Lost his son?
He lost his son, Pathway.
No, that's not him. Shrivas. Yeah, so they continue the kirtan even though he loses. Yeah, that's different. So what was I saying? Yeah, so Mahaprabhu is also a sannyasi. When he's a sannyasi, he's very strict, right? He doesn't associate with anybody from the opposite sex, for example. He doesn't want to associate with kings, you know, and he's with his intimate fathers. But he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. He's a sannyasi, but he's in the mood of Srimati Radharani. That's how he loves Krishna. In the highest, Madhura, although, you know, he is so strict. And then I was thinking, you know, I did dressing of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Kamala Prabhu on the altar a week ago. And the first thing that occurred to me was, wow, this is amazing. He's a sannyasi, right? Both are sannyasis, but they are dancing in jewelry and clothes and everything on the altar. And they are that is a grihastha form. Okay, I think his Pranagunda Prabhu is going to say something.
No, I'm saying that we go here. Generally, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, or Srila Prabhupada never established much of sannyas form of Lord Chaitanya unless particular place like Gambira, Jagannath Puri, the sannyas, Katwa. Otherwise, in all the temples, we always had householder, family man dress of Lord Chaitanya, not in answers. None, no temples. Because Navadvip, Sri Shachinandan, has a more significance than outside Navadvip, in eternal dham. Shachinandan has completeness of Radha Krishna combination. Outside, he has a separation predominating than in. Srimati Radharani's separation predominating more. But ultimately, that union and separation has to be nicely combined, not one, not separation should be predominating. In Gambira, he mostly cried in his separation. That is very high too, but in Navadvip, Radharani's concept, aspect of absolute counterpart, bipolarity concept, that is complete, where Krishna is captured by Radharani. That's more higher than outside Purushkatra, where Krishna meets Radharani, but place does not accommodate their very deep emotional exchange. Separation was predominating. In Jagannath Puri, Ratha Japra, those are very high, but compared to Navadvip, Navadvip is highest. Because where the separation is predominated by union, that we want more. If the separation is higher, then it's Biyogini Radha, Sangyogini Radha, Vishavanandini Radha. Three concepts of Radharani is also there. In Sanat Samhita explains this, that Vishavanandini Radha, this is the highest conception of Radha. They're all Radharani, but still there's the different stages, different expression, different mood exchange. Because we have a Ratha Japra, such a big deal all over the world, so we should know about it. Otherwise, how we will understand? Mahaprabhu was experiencing the there's the two types of separation. One separation that Krishna goes every day. Every day Krishna goes to cow pasturing, And they feel separation from Krishna. All the cowgirls, Mother Yashoda, everybody feels separation. Except the coward boy. But when Krishna left Vrindavan to go to Mathura, that was a long separation. Long separation. So separation also has two. One is every day's feeling separation. Another is a sudur pravas. Sudur means law, after long separation, he's back. So in Kurukshetra, it's not a daily separation, it's after long separation. When after long separation you meet your beloved, there is a lot of emotion plays, a big deal, big role. You'll see in some paintings where Lord Chaitanya is in front of Jagannath, sometimes Lord Chaitanya is behind Jagannath. Why? Because it is expressed in Chaitanya Chaitanya that Srimati Radharani is also testing. Oh, you now married 16,108, your wives are all there in Kurukshetra. Do you still love me like before? You know, slang way is a simple way. Do you have same, do you maintain same love for me when I was in Vrindavan with you? I came all the way from Vrindavan to meet you here, but do you have same love for me? So to test this, she is the best lover amongst Krishna. So she disappeared. Then Krishna's eye became so wide. Where did she go? That's called Jagannath. Jagannath's eye, you will see, eyes are big. Sometime in Jagannath Puri, they have a deity of Jagannath, only the eye. Have you ever seen? Today? Yeah. They sell even a cloth in a frame, just the eye. What is this? Common people cannot understand. But nonetheless, there is benefit. Because that separation in Jagannath Puri, if you think, Krishna is Jagannath. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not see Jagannath in a Jagannath form. He saw Shyam Sundar. In Chaitanya Chaitanya says, always he saw Shyam Sundar. And in a mood of Srimati Radharani, in separation feeling from Krishna, he is seeing Krishna. And Krishna in Jagannath form, in a deep separation from Radharani, is seeing Lord Chaitanya. So there is a two separation uniting. It's a very emotional play, very emotional. That's why Ratha Jatra, externally benefiting all the public, that's true. But internally there is a very deep emotional play between beloved and lover, Krishna and Radharani. The highest, very in separation feeling. But still, Vrindavan is higher than that. Its separation play highest in Kurukshetra. In spiritual world, Kurukshetra is not Dwarka, not Mathura, not Vrindavan. It's in between. There's the above, Sakir Dham, they call it. Sakir Dham, Ayodhya, then Mathura, then Dwarka, then Kurukshetra, then Vrindavan. Within Vrindavan there are so many divisions. Each stages of, like for example, Mother Yashoda with 2 years old boy, there is a whole planet, just 2 years old Krishna. Eternally he stays there. And 3 years there is another planet. Because there is no growing over there. There is no birth. In spiritual world, there is no birth of Krishna. Krishna appear only here, Bhauma Dham. It's same as spiritual, same abode, like embassy, American embassy in Calcutta. Within the embassy, when you go inside, there's no Indian law, there's American law. But still, there's an influence of Calcutta because the crow is crowing. I went there, I remember. It's not exactly like Golok, but there is. In Chaitanya Chaitanya Adi Lila, chapter 3, text 5. It says, Purna Bhagavan Brajendra Nandan Goloke Brajeshwahit Karena Biha. This same Krishna Chandra, he is playing his eternal pastimes, which in Golok Vrindavan, which includes Brajadhan. So we cannot separate Brajadhan separately from Golok. We cannot say that. Just like a guest house, you may not live in your guest house. You know, in your house, you have a guest room. Whenever guest comes there, you don't live in that guest room, but it is within the house, but it's the different feeling. When guest comes, they don't feel exactly like the way you feel in your house. But it is within the house, you know, like within the maybe separate house or separate room. So something like that. So, Mahaprabhu exhibit this in a very deep emotional in Kurukshetra, that when Lord Krishna came, how far do you want to go? What is our multitude? Now in Jagannath Puri, thank you. In Jagannath Puri, we have this interesting place. When you go to Jagannath Puri, you must see some places like Gambira, where Lord Krishna and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was exhibiting 12 years, according to Prabhupada, also Chaitanya Chaitanya, for 12 years, not known to the public so much, was internalizing Srimati Radharani's mood in a culmination of three unfulfilled desires. One was Shiradhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisha Bhana Eva Sadho Jena Adhuta Madhurima Kidrisha Vah Madhya Shakanchashat Mat Anubhavat Kidrisha Bhakti Lobha Tad Bhava Samajani Shachi Garva Sindhu Hri. This verse in Chaitanya Chaitanya explains Radha Krishna Radhaya Pranaya Mahima. Pranaya Mahima, so Radharani is, this is a little technical, but more we hear, we grasp it. In the beginning it was very difficult. It will be difficult, so do not feel discouraged. But this is very high topics. Radhaya, Radha Pranaya Mahima. Pranaya, like Maharaj was talking today, he says, we are talking about gradual progression of our life in devotional path, the Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, Anarthali Bhuti, Nishtha, Ruchi, Asok. This is one supposed to have take place in this life, right now. Up to then Asoki, then Bhav, it ends to a point because there is a big transition after that. Is no more under any touch of material nature. Material nature is completely out. Up to Bhav, still some influence may be there. But after, like Billamangal Thakur, Jarabharat, we know Prabhupada mentioned there in Bhava Bhakti also still fell down. So up to that there is a chance, maybe some trace to establish. Not that easily come down from Bhava Bhakti, but if there is a chance, possibility Krishna is arranging some pastimes for others to learn. So the point is there is still some trace of, Krishna Sakshat Kito Jugga. They have a ability to see the Lord face to face. Krishna Sakshat Kito Jugga. But still there is some trace of some connection of this material modes of nature or material some attachment may be lingering there. That's why it is not called prem. Because prem is pure, 100% pure. And bhav means is not ultimate goal, but it is in the middle because there is some trace of this world is still there. So because some trace is there, between sadhana and friend, there is another stage, bhava. That's why. And very elaborately, I think in the beginning you discussed one time, no? I think so. Because of the early days, I mean early weeks, early months, something, we discussed that. So at one point, Maharaj, this morning you were saying that after you get the full 100% Suddha-Sattva connection, where your roti is blossomed, called prem. Before it's like a little rays of sun, now it's full sun. You are completely illuminated by Krishna consciousness in spiritual realm. Then your love with your affection and possessiveness, mamata, increases. As it increases, then the affection increases. That's called sneha. When sneha condenses, then it becomes ma. Then it progresses further, you know, you boil the milk, it becomes thicker, like that. So your prem, love for the Lord also becomes thicker. Then it becomes sneha, man, pranaya. Pranaya is a stage where you 100% for Krishna. Your feeling, thinking, it's already begun before, but at that stage it is so condensed that you have 100% given. Srimati Radharani also has this, 100% for Krishna. And Krishna also 100% at that time give to you, or gave to Radharani. 100%. So Radharani gave 100% to Krishna, Krishna gave 100% to Radharani. So they are equal or not? Yes? That stage is called pranaya. So pranaya, so it says Radha, Sri Radhaya pranaya mohima. What is the glory of Radharani's love? But the word he used, pranaya, it's very significant. It's not, you know, Sanskrit word has a very deep meaning. That means the Srimati Radharani's, what is the glory of Srimati Radharani's love? But the address was evoked with words called pranaya. Pranaya means where Radharani, 100% her thinking, willing, feeling, her effort, everything is for Krishna, and Krishna is 100% for Radharani. But Krishna experienced that in that existence where beloved and lover has no separate existence, separate asset, they are equal. But then Krishna found out that even though it is equal, but Srimati Radharani's relishment is higher. And that bothered him. Even Supreme Absolute is always greedy too. He says, Vishaya Jatiya Sukh Amar Ashad. As a Vishaya, object of love, I enjoy everything as a God. But Amahoyte Koti Gun Ashrayar Allah. In Chaitanya Chaitanya chapter 4 it says, Amahoyte Koti Gun, 10 million times more Radharani relishes than my relishment. Oh, that's not how they are. You understand the concept? Like if we are a partner, 50-50, and you buying a Mercedes and I could not buy a car, I'm thinking like we made the same money amount, equal distribution, how can he buy better than me? So Krishna and Radharani are equal in absolute truth, but then Radharani felt that how is that her love, her tasting 10 million times more, proper translated like that. How? What was that question?
No, I didn't have a question. I just like to compare a Mercedes and Krishna's love for Radharani. That's like a material thing.
Oh.
But I mean, it's a comparison.
Oh, this is very high because that's what it is. In the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the text number 6, 14 verses. Chaitanya Charitamrita has only 14 verses. All the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And if you say, well, that's not true, there's thousands of verses. Yes, those are expansion of 14 verses. The whole Chaitanya Charitamrita is within these 14 verses. First one, it started, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktam Isham Isha Vatarakam Tat Prakasam Satat Shakti Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sangatam. It starts from there, all the way goes to number 14. These 14 are the 14 sloka, are the root or seed, you can say, of entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. This has all the tattva that any chapter anywhere in Chaitanya Charitamrita is nothing but the expansion of this 14. So I'm talking about number 6, one of the 14. But this has you'll see so many pages after pages explaining this one sloka. But here is only one sloka, but they're talking later, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, explaining these verses. So that's what I got it from. That Radha Krishnas are equal, but Krishna experiencing that Radharani's tasting of his love coming from him 10 million times more. 10 million. So Krishna developed a greed naturally, right? When somebody is tasting, your partner is getting $10 million more than you, you must be curious what's going on in the business. So that's what caused, one of the cause why Lord Chaitanya has come. They said, Radha Pranaya Mohima, glory of our Pranaya, love. What is this astonishing? What is the glory of this Pranaya that she has? It's supposed to be equal. They are absolute. Radha Krishna Oiche Sada Eki Sorup. In their original, but from their one, not two. Nilaras Asadite Dhare Duiru. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that to release the transcendental mellow of love, they expanded themselves into Ashray and Vishay. Shelter of love, enjoyer of love. You follow? So Ashray and Vishay. Supply and needs. Krishna needs Radha, Radha needs Krishna. Jiva Goswami Pada song. Krishna prema moi Radha, Radha prema moyo hari. Jivane nidhane nitam, Radha Krishna goti mama. It's the only song he wrote, and it's all about their loving exchange between each other. They need each other, need and supply created. But they are one. In the truth, Tattva Gata Vichaya, considering of truth, they are one. But in that one concept, that there is a found like a many variety between these two, even though they are one. So Tattva Gata Vichaya is one, but we have to understand from Lila Gata Vichaya and Rasa Gata Vichaya. Just like you have a river, the water is flowing. So think, water is like a lila, pastimes. Pastimes are like a water, flowing. But water is flowing very nicely in a channel. How? Because there's the two banks on two sides. You follow? In the flood, there is nobody knows which way the water is going. Because it's flood. But in the river, you know where the water is going. Wherever the bank is curved like this, you know, the water is flowing there. Yes? So one side bank is called Tattva Gata Vichaya. We have to understand the tattva, the real truth that exists by its own right. It has to be understood. If you understand that, then the pastime will flow and then you will be start relishing the other bank. So that's Rasa Gata Vichaya and Lila Gata Vichaya. This Jiva Goswami Pada gives that example. That all three has to be understood in that way. But gradual progression. So back to this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri or Ratha Jatra or Krishna in Kurukshetra, what is their tasting? This is what they are tasting. Krishna developed a greed. What is this? The second line he says, Radhaya Pranaya Mahya Kidrisho Banayava Sardho Jena Adhuta Madhurima Kidrishova Modiya. Modiya means it's coming from me, it's my property. Prema Madhuri, Nila Madhuri, Rupa Madhuri, Venu Madhuri. This four sweetness Krishna has. You follow? This is what causes Krishna higher than any other incarnation. More than Narayan, more than Ram, more than anything. More than Dwarka Krishna even. Because in Dwarka Krishna, Krishna doesn't play flute. So only in Vrindavan Krishna, Krishna plays flute. So when he says sweetness of his flute sound, we are talking about Vrindavan Krishna. So then question rises that this Vrindavan Krishna in Dwarka and Dwarka Krishna in Kurukshetra and Vrindavan Krishna in Kurukshetra, these both manifestations combined, it's called actually this Ratha Jatra explanation given. Very nice. That Adbhuta Madhurima, Kidrishava Madhya, that this sweetness, my beauty, it's my beauty, Krishna is thinking, but she is tasting it. I cannot taste it. This is not fair. So this is a second desire. I want to taste my sweetness within me. That is coming from me. But Radharani alone, Prabhupada translates, is very sweet. That Radharani alone relishing how? Through her love. Not through anybody or anything. Through her love. So that means if Krishna wants to taste that highest concept of Krishna's beauty, Krishna cannot taste it, first of all. Krishna cannot go through any other person to get it. Only Krishna has to get through Radha. Because only Radharani is tasting 100% of Krishna's beauty. That's why all the temple, we never worship Krishna alone. We never see a temple of Gauri or Prabhupada or our parampara ever worship Krishna alone. It's not that Krishna cannot be alone. Krishna generally not alone, first of all. Even if we see Krishna somewhere, he's playing with the coward boys, Radharani is still there in him, inside. It's not possible he's ever separated from him. And this is profound by Prabhupada, actually, when they asked him, Akshayananda Maharaj asked him, how did you come up with the name Radha Partha Sarathi? Generally, Partha Sarathi you don't think of. Arjuna and Krishna, why is Radharani in the battlefield? Do you see any painting? Krishna and Arjuna with the chariot, you know, four horses, rain, and bow and arrow. You don't see Radharani ever. So they asked him, Prabhupada is so high level of his realization and his conception of absolute truth, Radha Krishna, so high level. He asked a question to the questioner. Do you think there is ever a time that Krishna is not thinking of Radharani? Do you know any time that Krishna is not thinking? So then Maharaj was like, oh, I don't know. No. But that is never possible. The possible, even in battlefield of Kurukshetra, he is with Arjuna, but Krishna is thinking Radharani according to Prabhupada. This is very high conception. We cannot even imagine. No Acharya even gave any explanation before Prabhupada. So Prabhupada has a very special that his understanding of Radha Krishna is very, very deep. Only we have to be recipient to get it. And that was very nice. So they asked many questions to Prabhupada and he answered like this. And Prabhupada said, we Gauriya, he wrote a letter to Jayananda Prabhu, the Ratha Jatra famous, we were talking about it. He said, we Gauriya never worship Krishna without Radharani. Because Krishna is Radharani's property. You know, property? The way Prabhupada put it is like, wow, that's how did you don't think like Prabhupada would say like that. Prabhupada did You read in a Bhagavad Gita. You should know that Krishna is Radharani's property. Therefore, we worship Radha's Krishna. Which Krishna we worship? Radharani's Krishna. We don't worship just Krishna. We worship Radharani's Krishna. That's why every temple in the whole world, Krishna means always Radharani and Krishna. That's why I mentioned one time that when Pushkar Prabhu reminded me that was not in this devotee is here, Uttavan Prabhu, he was a pujari in one time in the altar in Africa. He on Janmashtami night he created a little like a, some kind of a decoration in the altar where Radharani and Krishna is separate. Imagine you come to the altar one day and you see, where is Radharani? Oh, behind the bush somewhere, and Krishna is in the other side. He said, Prabhupada came there and Prabhupada had a cane and he went like this. Prabhupada, it looks beautiful like this. Who has done this? Yeah. Who has done? Nobody could understand what has done. It looks like a decoration. You know, Janmashtami, we have decoration. Prabhupada was very furious. After a little while, a lot of devotees gathered. Prabhupada is going to do something. Who has done this again? He asked. What has done? He said, why you separated Radha and Krishna? I guess they didn't have a steady on the altar. They probably had it, and then you could move. But they thought it's kind of, anyway, they had their own idea. Then Prabhupada said, never ever separate Radha and Krishna. Always stay one. Our puja is very nice. They are very nice. They never separate Radha and Krishna. There's no room. There's better actually. You should never think Radha Krishna ever separate. They're always together. So many songs we sing. Radha Krishna Prana Mara Jugala Kishore. We always sing Jugala Kishore together, Radha Krishna. This is our actually, our approaching as a maid servant of Radha in the very highest concept, the highest concept of Krishna consciousness is given by Prabhupada. So we should approach that way very much. Even Prabhupada on Radhastami, he says, you should pray to Radharani. He said like this, you should pray to Radharani, please tell your Krishna to accept my service. So if Radharani tells Krishna, then Krishna will immediately allow you to serve them. Very nice. But they have all the secrets. So this is what Mahaprabhu was experiencing in Jagannath Puri. That this mood. And the third one was Radhaya Pranaya Mahima Kidrisha Banayeva. The Pranaya Mahima we already discussed that Radha Krishna are together, but you know that so many pastimes. One pastime is that how Madhumangal saw that one bumblebee is going around Radharani's beautiful, she has a beautiful face. You know, she is the most gorgeous in the whole creation. So one bumblebee is going like, because bumblebee's thinking is like a lotus, so fragrance coming out. From Krishna's body, Radharani's body, four types of fragrance comes out. But it is not like a perfume of this world. Because even Radharani can smell where Krishna is by the strong odor that emanates from his body. All the time. Uninterruptedly. And also Radharani is produced. But not everybody can smell the same thing. Mother Yashoda smelled four things, but different flavor. It's coming from Krishna's body, but different flavor. According to their feeling, according to their relationship. So Radharani smell completely different than Mother Yashoda feels or Madhumangal smell Krishna. They don't have a deodorant, all these garbage things that people hear. They're trying to keep it up. Because it's there in the spiritual world, so it reflects here. That's why nobody likes the bad odor. Punna ganda piti bascha. Punna ganda means the odor that's coming from the mother earth, the rose, flower, natural, piti from natural. Those are Krishna himself claimed, that's him. It's coming from his body, it's true. So, this way, bumblebees are going around. So Madhumangal seeing this, the Radha Krishna are sitting on a beautiful, nice swing, but so he took that bumblebee, he took a stick and chased the bumblebee. Because everything is conscious. In spiritual world, everything is conscious. Even the earth, Vaikunthe Prithibhadi Shakali Chinmay. Shaitana Mahaprabhu told Sanatana Goswami, Vaikunthe Prithibhadi means the earth that consists of fire, water, ether, sound, they all Chinmay, transcendental, consciousness. In the mundane world, in the beginning of Santa, we discuss, when you come to a point in the beginning, I don't want to divert, I will go back to the Rathagata, that you start seeing that there is a spirit and matter. Yeah? In the beginning of a spiritual journey, we see matter and spirit. Dead, alive. Dead, alive. This should be the basic principle to find out the eternal truth. Very beginning. Because even I was talking to one big Indian businessman, he's very religious. So then after I discussed about the eternity is limited by the body or the mind. Then he said, what do you mean? I said, when your body dies, what happens to eternity as a spirit? He said, it stays with the mind. I said, when the mind dissolves, oh, then it disappears. It dissolves. And that's atheist. There's one religion group, Jains. Jains philosophy. You go from this angle, you find out where is what. And you get scared. In a sense, in a good sense, you become more attached to Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness is so perfect, so complete. It's said that all other religions, they should join. They should just come to, really, thoroughly. I was talking to this rabbi. He has a 3 PhD on chapter 5 of Moses and Torah. And they have the same up to this conception. Become oblivious that it dissolves. When the subtle body dissolves, their conception, the soul is also kind of a dispersed, dissolves. Nobody knows. That's why Torah has a 2 Torah. One Torah is the 5 chapter of Moses, another Torah is the commentary of different rabbi. They think what happened at that time. Some say they don't exist, it disappeared like a deep sleep. It's like the same as Buddhism. It's like so many conceptions you go, like, can you believe this? People really hang on to this. They should become devotee right away, otherwise it's very scary, in a sense. Anyway, so that's the beginning, matter and spirit. But when you become more advanced, santo means you come to a point actually you don't see anything matter. Everything is conscious because everything emanates from consciousness. And Prabhupada gave in chapter 4, 24, Brahmarpanam, Brahma Havir. In that verse, very nicely, Prabhupada in the Buddha purport, he says, when the impersonal Brahman, when the little part of impersonal, unlimited, all-pervasive Brahman, covered by illusion, means material nature, it becomes matter. So matter is a covering potency of the impersonal Brahma, but actually it's a consciousness. It's not a it's not a matter, but it became matter because of this covering of illusion. When it is removed, so santo means you come to a point where Prabhu says that you see Paramatma is behind everything, consciousness behind everything. There's a true conception at that time. Sometimes when you see consciousness behind everything, you cannot see the conscious being. You think the body dissolved, only consciousness. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. But you have to come to a point where the personality, this is the struggle, biggest struggle for the jnanis, Jnanis are not ordinary. Even amongst us, there is a lot of jnanis in our movement too. But they will become pure devotees because they are hanging around. So that's the idea. You have to hang around with the devotees and you go. But it's very difficult to surrender from that point to actually accept. Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudhullo. Bhonam Janma Namanta. It takes time. It takes time. That's what Bhagavad Gita Krishna emphasizes. But nonetheless, this conception is there in the beginning. So we go back to Ratha Jatra now. So in Ratha Jatra, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna, in the mood of Radharani, came to release these two. First one, we say, what is the glory of Srimati Radharani's love, which is known as pranay. Radhaya pranay manima kudrishavanayana. Asyado, asyado means relishing. What she relishes, through her love, the sweetness that comes or found in me, Krishna's teaching, the sweetness coming from his flute, he's playing the flute, his beauty, his relationship, reciprocation with the others, his pastime. But she alone relishes such a highest degree, but Krishna is deprived of that. And it is what degree? 10 million times more. You know, the proportion of the, like a payoff is too much a difference. So Krishna became very greedy. So the third one is, the happiness she feels after she releases. What is the sweetness of that? That's very deep. Very deep. Because in a normal conception, when you have an ice cream and you have a tongue, the tongue does not have the flavor. So tongue cannot say what flavor is ice cream. You follow? Ice cream has the flavor but doesn't have a tongue. So ice cream cannot say either. So where is the flavor? There's no way you can find the flavor in ice cream or the tongue. You have to meet. Where the meeting point, that's where the explanation is. Oh yes. Oh yes. Well, oh yes, when? When you put me in it. But itself individually, you follow. So like that, Mahaprabhu's exploration, or Krishna in Radha's mood, exploration in Ratha Jatra on that point. That in the meeting, this explored, many, many instances we saw I was looking at the one painting of that day. That where Mahaprabhu was pushing the chariot. Why? Because in the mood of Radharani, she thought, okay, long time, we haven't seen each other. Let's see if you really have that same love or more. So she disappeared. Lord Chaitanya disappeared. Where did she go? She went in the back just to see if Jagannath is like a desperate. Then Jagannath is not moving. Of course, nobody knew why it's not moving. King Prataprudra, he tried with hundreds and hundreds, thousands of elephants, horses, military to push the chariot. Nothing moved. What is the big deal of chariot? It's not that heavy compared to thousands of elephants. You know, their elephant is very powerful. But nothing moved. Why? Because Jagannath is like stunned. Where did she go? After that long, I just met her. You know, it's 50 years after Krishna left Vrindavan, this lila took place. So Krishna already was married, even a grandchild was born. That's in 50 years. And 50 years later, the Bhagavad Gita was spoken. And because after 50 years, Krishna was away, in our calculation is 125 years total. So some acharya says 11 and a half he left Vrindavan, some say 13 and a half, nonetheless, it's only 3 years different. 11 and a half, and then he stayed 13 and a half in Mathura, where the Jarasandha's last attack, that he immediately revealed the Dwarka. So that 25 and 100 years was in Dwarka. So in that explanation, 50 years, he met this Radharani and all the Brajavasis in Vrindavan. It was very, very pathetic, very pathetic. At that time, Krishna was experiencing such a tremendous, I mean, we love Krishna's opulence, Krishna's majestic form and all of that. But when you hear about Vrindavan, you kind of mentally don't care about this. This happened. Shastra doesn't say you should do that, but Shastra also said it happens. Why? For an example, like when Krishna was coming to Vrindavan, Kushkatra, Krishna was coming to Kurukshetra, first of all, he didn't even want to invite the Brajavasis. Why he didn't invite the Brajavasis? Narad Muni went to Dwarka, and he went to Dwarka and he's very depressed and sad. In spiritual world, anybody become depressed and sad? No, it's not. But sometimes it is found. But this is transcendental. It's relishment. So Narad Muni comes to Dwarka, and when Krishna heard Narad Muni arrived in Dwarka, he was very excited, he welcomed him, but Narad Muni is not smiling. He's just like depressed face. So you have some idea. But it's transcendental depression, it's also ecstasy. So Krishna already felt like not happy. Can you imagine somebody comes to your house and say, "Oh, Haribol, nice to see you," but the person is not smiling. It's not, "Are you okay?" Or, "Would you come to inside?" But Krishna invited him, washed his feet, and offered him some sweets and water. And Krishna says, "I'm so sorry, is there something bothering you?" Then automatically, in Vedic culture, when elderly people has to talk serious matter, younger generation, they disappear. Slowly, slowly they go. Or the ladies in the house will say, "All right, children, let's go outside and play, they need to talk." So everybody left, Krishna and Narad Muni alone. So Krishna says, "I'm sorry, is something bothering you?" I said, "Bothering? I'm desperately depressed." I said, "What do you mean desperate? It's like, it sounds like it. Can you give me some reason?" He said, "There will be a big festival in Kurukshetra. You are in the heart of all the Brahmana, promoting all over the world, all the people, including Pandavas, Jadavas, thousands and thousands of Kshatriyas, Brahmanas, everybody, whole world, to come to Kurukshetra for this lunar eclipse. Big lunar eclipse. And everybody is coming for two reasons. Some people are coming to destroy their old enemy and they will enjoy more in life. Some people coming, they will get rid of all their struggle in life and they will be better off. Some Jadavas are coming, they will get more bhakti and serve Krishna more. So everybody you invited." Narad Muni went like this. "Except one group. Why?" Krishna says, "I didn't know that one group." "Say, my lord, please, you are in the heart of all living entities." See, Narad Muni knows the both sides, opulence and sweetness. You understand? When you hear about the opulence of God, what happened to your heart? You want to surrender. Yes? When you hear, "Oh, he controls everything. He controls your birth, death, he is in every atom, he is in everywhere. If you surrender to him, you will be completely protected." Those are all power, majesty. No? Nobody is as powerful as him. Sounds very good. When you hear all this, it's very nice. We should surrender. It makes you feel like, "Yeah, I want to surrender. It's nice. No? But when you hear about sweetness about Krishna's playing, as a child, you don't feel like to surrender to this child. Do you? No, it's naturally. Child needs the milk. Mother Yashoda, where are you? Why you are taking care of the boiled milk? Why not give him breast milk? Come on, Mother Yashoda. You don't think of like, "I should go and surrender to this baby Krishna who is in." It does not. It increases our affection though. It helps us to increase our affection. Oh, I love Krishna, I love Madhavasura, I love Vrajavasa. You feel like affection. The problem is, without surrender, if you develop affection, it will not give you ultimate goal. Why? Because the heart is not pure. Surrender is required. You follow? So we need to, should we hear about majestic or sweetness? Which one? Both. But there is a gradual progression. First is opulence. You must hear absolute truth, majestic, all this. It will help us to purify our heart and attraction to surrender. When surrender takes place, then you hear about his sweetness, that will increase our affection. That will automatically promote our love for him. And then your goal is met. You'll get love of God. It's simple, as simple as this. So, we are discussing about Narad Muni. Thank you. Somebody paid attention. Very good. Now you all paid attention. So that time Krishna says, who did I not invite? So my Lord, please, you know who you did not invite. You invited the whole world except this one village. Can I ask you a question, my Lord? Do you know anybody who loves you more than them? Of course, Krishna cannot escape. Vrajavasi. My Lord, I don't have to ask you whether Vrajavasi is. You know more than me. But why did you invite the whole world except them? And then Narad Muni started crying. Because Narad Muni also loved Vrajavasi so much. And he's angry with Krishna. He invited the whole world except. So Krishna is like, didn't know what to do. Now he has to answer. Otherwise Narad Muni started crying and crying. And it's very embarrassing that great sage coming or flying all over the world, he comes for an answer and he is not satisfied and he has to go. Otherwise whole Dwarkavasi, what they will think, that our Lord cannot answer his question, what's going on? So Krishna became emotional. He said, to be honestly, they are more than welcome, more than invitation. But I have a fear to invite them. Because they do not know how to deal with the rest of the world. They are so absorbed in me, they only know me. And I also know only them. I really don't know anything else. But I'm still acting in Dwarka as Lord of Dwarka. If they come to Kurukshetra, I don't know how, what will happen. It's very difficult to handle. They are so much given to me. I will not be able to act as I am acting in them. Because their love bewilders me. I am surrendered to their love. I even told them I cannot pay back their love. That much their love. So I'm afraid. That's why I did not invite. So you can understand where Krishna's position is. Ratha Jatra, his meeting is not that easy. Krishna was not comfortable emotionally because he knows their love is so much. How to adjust with the rest of the people? Some people came, they had no love for Krishna at all. How do you know somebody has so much love and somebody has no love? How is Krishna going to meet both persons same place? Very difficult. So Krishna confessed, because of this, I could not, because I didn't know how to do, so I didn't invite. Then Narad Muni said, but how is possible? You invite the whole world except them. At least for courtesy, you must. Okay, Narad Muni, you do that job. I can. I don't know how. I fail because they love me so much. I cannot just invite them in front of all public who has some love, little love, more love, but not 100% love like them. Because Duryodhan, Shishupal, they also came to that place. You know, they don't even love Krishna. What they will think when they see Vrajavasa? That's why in Brajadham, when Krishna came, was very when Krishna came with Jadavas, they made like a million miles palaces, you know, temporary camping. But it's palaces, like huge gates. They say, you know, you go to holy places during the festival. I remember in Kumbh Mela, they say, Ishkan, big banner, so I know it's there. But you need a light to see it. Because at night there's no electricity in Kumbh Mela, you know. So we never left that place. It's difficult to find. So everybody has there, you know. Some Baba, some ashram, some temple, they also have Ishkan. So we stayed there in Kumbh Mela long time back, I remember. So like that, in Kurukshetra was a big festival. Everybody group there came. They have their own camping. Krishna also has his own camping. Uddhava made a big, you know, Dwarka was camp. It has a 16,000 palace, temporary camping for 16,000 queens. You have millions of brahmanas, millions of these, millions of that. You know, they're talking about like unlimited. And it is. But nobody knew Uddhava. You know why we love Uddhava? Because Uddhava was very secretly, he built a special personal private compartment. It's also huge, very secret for the Brajavasi. Nobody had any idea. He knew what is going to happen. He was so aware. That's why we always say that we want to see the Brajavasi through Uddhava, what he saw. Uddhava is a disciple of Brihaspati. Uddhava is like if you go to North India, you see those men, they have a hat. They have a hat. So devotee was explaining, was very funny. He says, I remember I was watching, all these people have a hat. You probably know, in UP area they wear some hat. Nehru hat or some kind of hat. Pagri, turbans and hat, all that. So one person has a hat and he's looking at this mountain. Wow, so high, he's looking high. At one point he went, he could not see the top and his hat fell off. So this Maharaj was explaining, was very sweet. He said, Uddhava's hat was like a complete knowledge of God. Follow. When he came to Vrindavan, he was watching the Brajavasi. How did he watch the Brajavasi? How much love Brajavasi has? You know what he did? He has all the knowledge of Krishna. So his all knowledge became a hat on his head. Oh, I know who Krishna is. Even it says, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says, before Krishna went to Mathura, Krishna thought, Uddhava thought, amongst all the devotees, I know the best who Krishna is. Because I know the best who Krishna is, and also I know that how beautiful, how origin supreme is my Lord Krishna. You follow? That's what Uddhava thought. But when he came to Vrindavan, he was just simple, one interview with Mother Yashoda. I'm just giving you some glimpse so you'll understand what experience Mahaprabhu is going through in Ratha Jatra. It's not just seeing a beauty, but emotional waves of ocean. Huge waves in his heart going and he's experiencing it. Very big trauma, emotional. Tear apart after long meeting beloved and lover, ultimate beloved and lover. And anybody, that's why Prabhupada says that anybody even see the Ratha Jatra will be difficult. So powerful this Ratha Jatra, this chariot festival. Because this philosophy is behind. It's not just a chariot and we take some deity and we walk. That's apparently yes, but that's not the main meaning of it. Big, big intimate devotion behind. So, one time Uddhava, I'm just giving you some idea, Uddhava thought, when he came to Nanda Maharaj's house, before he thought, I know who Krishna is more than anybody. I know he's Supreme God, origin of Narayan, origin of any God. Nobody is above him or equal to him. And he knew all this and he thought. So he comes to Nanda Maharaj's house while he was conversing. Just one incident he saw. Nanda Maharaj says, I don't have love for Krishna as much as Maharaj Dasharatha had love for Ram. See, Uddhava was thinking, how is this calculation? See, Dasharatha, he loves his son Ram so much. How much? When Ram left, what happened to Dasharatha? Died. He could not bear. Look at me. Krishna left, I'm still. So he's thinking like this, but that's not true. But that's what he's thinking, that I don't have love for Krishna as much as Dasharatha has love for Ram. Uddhava is seeing. He's crying and crying and crying and talking. One time Uddhava turned back, he saw Mother Yashoda, took her bag with some clothes and went outside. And some ladies came, Maya, mother, where are you going? Maya, where are you going? She said, I'm going to go to Mathura. What do you do there? She said, I'll become servant of Devaki. She became servant of Devaki. Why? She said, if I serve there under her, and then she will ask me, what salary you want? You are serving long time, what salary you want? I want salary to see your son, beautiful face. That's all, salary. I'll work, and once in a while you give me the beautiful face of your son. She's thinking, my son is gone, or now he wants to stay in Devaki's place and Vasudev's place. There's a whole story. I'm not going to start because it takes 6-7 hours, you know, how this took place. But to culmination, Mother Yashoda is thinking, so this will be my salary, because when you hire a maid servant, you have to give salary. So she said, this will be the salary. I just want to see your son, that's all. But saying this, she could not take it. Oh Krishna, she thinking. She loves so much. Uddhava was thinking, gosh, Krishna sent me, you know how Krishna sent him. Krishna is also Bhavagrahi, he was playing a little apart. One time when Krishna went to Mathura, so that time the Kamsa is killed, Maharaj Ugrasena is coronated as a new king. You know how Ugrasena was coronated. Ugrasena was in jail, old man. When after killing Kamsa, when Krishna came, he says, it's a big crowd, it's the first time. Millions of people came there to see the wrestling arena. Instead of Krishna's being killed, Krishna killed Kamsa. It's like unheard of. So the emotion going, you know, demons are like scared. Is he really going to kill us? Also, some of Kamsa's followers still hanging around. They're scared. They don't know where to go, what to do. It's like a big trauma. And another side, Vasudeva and Devaki say, it's our son, the God, our son is there, is him. He just killed because he said, 8 child will kill Kamsa. And it's today, he killed. So emotion going on, you know, everybody heard that rumors, the 8 child of Devaki is God, and God will kill Kamsa, and today it's proven. So they're also dancing, crying, he is God, and he's the son of Vasudeva. Like so much emotion going on. Nanda Maharaj left his staying in his guest house, he is thinking, as soon as Krishna Balaram comes back, I'll go back to Vrindavan. But they're not coming back, whole day passed by. He's going through another emotion. He's worried, what's going on? Why so much noise? Why all these millions of people, what they're doing? Where is my son going to come back? And Krishna Balaram is thinking, we have to go to Nandamava, we have to meet our parents first time, really as a son. And at the same time, this is now there is no king. It will be a big problem if there is no king. Because there is no law and order. If something happened, all these demons, friend of Kamsa, Kamsa has 8 brothers, Balaram killed them, but still there is thousands and millions of his messenger here, there. So immediately he wanted to establish a king before he meets his parents. So he called Ugrasen Maharaj and he comes. He's an old man, very old man. You're going to be the king. No, don't make me king. Oh, how can I run? I cannot even, myself fight with anybody. I was young, but now I'm old. No, don't worry. Krishna gives a logic. What logic he gives? He said, grandfather, all the demigods, all the powerful, everybody bow down to who? To me. I am Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. Krishna told to Ugrasena. Ugrasena said, yes, you are Supreme God. So everybody bows down to me. And today I bow down to you. So what will happen? You don't have to do any work. You automatically king. Automatically all the power will be with you. Because everybody bows down to me as a God. And I bow down to you as your grandchild. So don't worry. So instantly he made him king. Now he's the king of Mathura, Ugrasena. Okay, then he went to meet his parents. Like this. So in that assembly was very emotional. After all this over, one day, Krishna had a personal meeting with the king and the minister, how to rule. Uddhava, everybody is waiting, but Krishna is not coming in the meeting. So Uddhava is king. He's the main minister. What he called private minister or something like that. Krishna's person. He's thinking, where is Krishna? Where is my Lord? They all think he's a God. And that's what they know. Lord, please, he's going here. They are not finding him. Then Uddhava knows also, there's something emotional also involved. Maybe something he's thinking that not everybody, maybe I should secretly go and find him instead of telling everybody where it's Krishna. So looking. It's a nice weather, everything. On the top of the courthouse, there's water coming down from the side. As soon as he touched, he's feeling ecstasy. He says, Mother, what are you? Then you climb from the back. Okay, she can open it. I'll end with the story. I'll keep on going. So then, after that, Krishna comes. Jai Shri Radha, Sanchandar, Krishna Balaram, Govindai. Radha, Sanchandar, they love what? Their own story, own life story. They love the most. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Krishna loves to hear his pastimes. So I'm going to end with this. So that time Uddhava was looking, where? Could not find. So when he touched that water, he felt so ecstasy. So he took, in a big palace, there is a back stairs, steps. So he went slowly up. When he went all the way up, he saw on the roof, in a corner, Krishna alone sitting and crying. He is turmoil. Is the Lord. He never knew that God cried. This is his first experience with the Lord. He did not know. He's thinking, how is possible? And Krishna is like, put his head down like this and crying and wiping, like a baby cry, wiping his tears, but he's not stopping. So he's thinking, is my Lord Krishna crying? How this water, and he's seeing the water is coming where he's crying, so much water. Tears, like a little child. And Uddhava is Buddha, he's Supreme Lord, but he's crying. Why would he be crying? He killed the demon, well, that's legitimate. Demon should be killed. Why is he crying? Could not figure it out. But then, whom I'm going to bring to pacify him? Well, maybe I should go. So he could not figure it out, but finally he went. When he went, slowly, slowly he went. My Lord, I'm so sorry. Something bothering you so much that I could not imagine that you are crying. Krishna could not stop crying. Then after a little while, of course, downstairs, everybody is waiting in the meeting. They're waiting for Krishna to come in the court. The king, minister, thousands of ministers, they're all waiting. But up on the roof, nobody goes to the roof in the palace. Only first time this, and Krishna, how he went, we don't know. Of course, you can say God is, what can be there anywhere. But Uddhava found it. So after long discussion, Krishna revealed first time to Uddhava. Uddhava, I need help from you. So, yes, my Lord, anything. Said, I left Brajadham. I know Brajavasi, they will not be eating, sleeping, or cooking, or doing anything, because they have so much love for me. But you have knowledge about me. If you go and tell them about my knowledge, about me, I am the super soul, I am all pervasive, I am everywhere, all this knowledge, maybe they will be pacified. You know, when you cry and the knowledge comes, you feel dry, not cry anymore. Then Uddhava fell like this. Yes, my Lord, of course I'll do that. So from that angle, there's a few steps to explain. When Uddhava came, when Krishna came to Mathura, you remember the laundry man that Krishna killed his head? Because he didn't want to give the dress of Kamsa's, new dress. Not Kamsa's, but it was for Kamsa, but it was new dress. But Krishna killed him and took all the dress. So what happened to his braja dress? It went to Uddhava. So Uddhava put on Krishna's dress and Uddhava looks like Krishna also, same color. So Uddhava went like this to Vrindavan and he's experiencing this and he's thinking, Krishna sent me to tell them about all majestic aspect of Krishna. So he started speaking about Krishna. He's super soul, he's everywhere. Then he noticed Mother Yashoda is crying more and more. So then Krishna is saying, Nanda Maharaj is saying, oh Mother Yashoda, why don't you hear what he's talking about our son? So Mother Yashoda says, tell him to go back where he comes from. So then Uddhava was thinking, wow. He said, he has come from Mathura to teach me who is my son? I raised him with my breast milk. I raised him with my love and affection. He has come to tell me, my son is super soul, my son is God, my son is everywhere. Tell him to go back where he comes from. I don't need to hear this. So, this is the first step Uddhava started to understand. The love Brajavasi, even Mother Yashoda, holds so deep that this knowledge has no room there. And as he was expressing the devotion and love such a deep in the Brajavasi's heart, he found all his knowledge is like that hat of the man is looking at the up, how high the love for Brajavasi for Krishna, his all knowledge dropped into trash. So that's Brajavasi. And we'll discuss next week. Gaur Premanande Hari Krishna.